Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 801, Big Team Evolved, recorded live on October 14th, 2021. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I am Haas.
And welcome to the first episode of the 900 set. We are rolling into episode 801
900, of this podcast. 800.
Well, no, so
road to 900.
Yeah, 0 to 1 would be the first 100. So we're now on the first episode of the 900 series. Anyways.
Okay, whatever.
It's the ninth set of 100 episodes that we're starting today. Anyways, I was trying to make it sound glamorous, but I guess I failed at that.
Yes, you failed miserably.
Fergie makes things sound glamorous.
We're past the 800 mark, is basically what I'm trying to say.
We are 8/10 of a century, Ben says.
8/10.
Old podcast.
Well, no, we're 8/10 of a millennium if we're doing, because that'd be 1,000. What? No, we're 8/10 to what would be a millennium if we basically did one podcast every year.
I think we should continue to complicate this.
And let's just make this as complicated as possible so we can lose listeners.
Anyways, our 800 episode, we had DJ Blue and Hidden Xperia on the show. So we had a little discussion of what it means to be kind of unified in discussions and differences within our opinions on Halo and what we're really excited about for Infinite coming. And can you believe that it's basically less than 2 months when Infinite comes out?
In 6 days, it'll be 1 month till I get my Xbox.
Is it the 20th or the 28th?
20th. Is what mine said.
Some are even coming on, like the order I put in for a friend shows delivery slated for the 17th.
So I guess it depends on where you bought it and I guess when you bought it.
It probably which warehouse it's going to come out of.
Yeah.
Probably that too. Yes. I'm looking forward to that Xbox as well.
I'm really hoping it shows up early, but hey, you never know.
I'm just bummed that controller is not going to be sold separately, to be honest. Not that I need it, but I'm bummed. I'm bummed by that.
Haas, I will ship you my controller.
You don't want that controller? The Halo Infinite one?
I didn't say I would give it to you for free.
Well, I'm still saying, like, you
don't
want it?
The Xbox was $600. I think $150 would be good for that controller, don't you?
You know what? I stupidly spent $200 on a Green Elite, so...
Elite?
Yeah.
I just spent $150 on a regular Elite.
Yeah.
I started praising the Elite.
I'm still not in love with that purchase.
My Elite started to get stick drift.
Isn't that...
Last time I talked good about you...
I like spending $100+ on something and then it stops working before the cheaper version of it does. It always makes me feel good about my purchase.
That's just the way things work, right? If it's more expensive, that means it's going to break earlier.
Yeah, you know, as long as you're spending more money on cheaper build quality, I think we can all sleep well.
Well, I have to admit, the Elites hold up better than a standard controller in my hands, at least. Usually a standard controller in about 60 days, it gets drift.
Oh, I do not have that. But to be fair, I use my Elite more than I use standard.
Yeah, I haven't. Well, since I bought my Elites, I haven't used any of my standard controllers, so they're lasting just fine.
I actually prefer a standard controller. Believe it or not. Yeah.
For a gentleman of similar size as me, I'm kind of surprised because I like the heavier feel of the Elite. and it feels bigger, even though the overall dimensions are relatively the same. My hands seem to be more comfortable with the Elite, but interesting.
Yeah, I don't like the weight as much compared to the weight of the standard ones, I guess.
I don't like the Series 2. I don't like the fact that it has an integrated battery. I would like to be able to remove the battery.
Interesting. That is very opposite of what everybody else wanted.
Yeah. I have no use for a battery in a controller because it's always plugged in.
See, I like the weight because it reminds me anytime I pick it up because I'm frustrated. It was like the heavier the item, you kind of notice it a little bit more than the lighter.
Less likely you are to throw it across the room.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah.
You have to put this more, might break something.
Put more muscle into it.
I mean, that makes sense too. I think for me, it's just one of those. I don't know why I prefer the lighter weight more. And it's really not that much difference because I did take the battery out of my Elite Series 1, and that helped a bit. But I don't know. I don't know why I like the standard ones better.
Well, the main reason I don't like having the battery in there is I hate having it plugged in all the time and just sitting there cooking that battery.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if I ever do want to use it wirelessly, I'm losing life as it sets there.
Yep, makes sense. Totally makes sense. Anyways, we're here to talk about Halo stuff, even though controller and console stuff is pretty cool. We've got a little bit of new stuff to talk about. We've got the competitive settings that we're going to get for at least the first little bit of Halo Infinite. We've also got Season 8 of MCC that dropped this week.
And they hid new stuff in it.
There's a lot of new stuff coming with Season 8. Some of it we've talked about. Some of the new stuff we haven't too much. So we'll talk about some of the new stuff that they've included this week. And got another little few tidbits as far as some new gear out there, some other little Halo tidbits related to Season 8. So before we get started into that, it's been a couple of weeks since we actually had the live show. So GT, let's start with a recap on our Fraggin' Fridays.
We shot stuff, killed Spartans.
Alas, no infinite flights.
Alas, no infinite flights. Shit, base. Anyway, we've been having a lot of fun. We jumped into the, Action Sack playlist just this last Friday and played a little bit of the custom games.
Very nice.
And then we quickly went into Big Team Super Fiesta.
I was there for that part.
We did. And we got a special guest just in time for us to be too big to play Big Team. So we played Warzone.
Did a couple of games of that. We won, two games?
I think.
And lost one? Lost two? 1-2, lost two, something like that?
I think we lost 2-1-1. I know one game was actually pretty good. We jumped out to a pretty early lead, and then the other team just, they got it together, and they kicked our butts.
Mm-hmm. It was a very strong comeback.
Yeah.
On their part. It was neck and neck for probably the first 40% of the game, and then they just started taking off and getting those bosses, which are crucial, having that mid-game to end-game.
Yeah, that's the one thing I hate about Warzone, is that the other team can come in and steal the boss kill.
With no reward for the team that did, 99% of the damage.
Yeah.
You know, you spend the 5 minutes bringing Warden's health down, and then the guy comes in with one Banshee shot and gets the kill.
Well, the important thing is, in Halo Infinite, you don't have to worry about it.
No.
I mean, I get that part of it is, that's just the mechanic of the game.
Well, I mean, I understand that, while you're killing the boss, you have to defend the boss against the other team. That's part of the deal. It's just so frustrating that you lose out on everything because one guy gets a lucky shot.
Man, get partial points or something.
Yeah, that's an old subject.
Yep. Nearly 6 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks, it'll be 6 years old, pretty much. Cool. And then we did, I think, a couple customs, like you said. I almost nearly won Vehicle Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got swatted out of the sky. So that was Fragment Friday for last week, but the week before was, we actually had quite a busy flight for Infinite with Big Team.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was a lot of fun. A
lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big Team.
It was a lot of fun playing BTB with, you know, on a dev map,
mm-hmm.
not a forge yes. map.
Yes. That helps.
With a group of helps friends. And I think BTB is on a good path. It seemed pretty balanced for me as far as the difference between power weapons, power vehicles. The map wasn't too bad, although it's not really built for a tank, in my opinion. It's just too closed off, is all I can say. You know, a Scorpion really, it shines in a more open area, I should say. But for Warthog gameplay, Ghost gameplay, it was a lot of fun. I got a chance to fly the Wasp, and that is different.
It is, well, most of the vehicle driving, I feel like it's pretty different, at least from what I experienced during the big team battle flight.
No, the flight controls are really different, at least on the Wasp. Okay. It doesn't fly the same as it does in Halo 5. The same things, the movements don't work the same way. I actually had to go in and change my flight controls to get it to fly right.
Hmm.
It just,
the vehicle balancing was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Dust had made mention of the Warthog, I think specifically, from Behemoth on the weekend prior on the last recording that we did.
Yeah.
I found the Ghost was pretty solid, but you are able to take it down. Where the Warthog was Halo 4 levels, which kind of concerned me. Like, I just felt every time I got in that thing, I was shredded or punished for being in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the turret is strong, but if you get one well-placed nade on that thing, you're toast. And it's a hard line, because in Halo 3, I do think Halo 3 probably had the balance the best, but I do think vehicles were pretty strong, especially the Warthog, where ever since then, it just kind of felt like they can't find that balance. Of ground troop to vehicle strength, weakness, and get it right.
But yeah, I think that the Ghost and the Warthog should have the same health pool. And it seems like the Ghost either A, has more health or does more damage than the Warthog.
Because, and I'm all for the Ghost getting a buff, especially if that's going to be the lighter Covenant, because we're probably not seeing the Spectre return or anything like that.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, especially at launch. So if there's going to be a counter to the Warthog on the Covenant side, the Ghost is probably it.
Right. But, you know, I went up against Ghost multiple times. I mean, with fresh Warthogs that had received no damage. And the Ghost was actually able to win that fight with,
yep.
you know, me just pouring rounds into it. It almost seemed like they just wouldn't die.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think those gas tank shots might be worth more. Like, maybe there's a weak point on these vehicles that we don't know about.
On the Warthog, it's the entire outside of the vehicle.
It's the entire frame, tires, turret.
I almost wonder, like, how much the different damage types are really playing into it, because that seems to be a pretty big emphasis on what they're going for, is the whole, hey, this is projectile versus plasma versus charge or shock damage type. And mm-hmm. there are some situations where, like, I definitely got 3-for-1 stickies on several Warthogs during the flight, but then there were times where I was driving and someone was gunning, and for sure I thought at that by some point I would have been killed by some amount of damage, but then other times I got shredded a lot more easily than I thought I should have. So I almost wonder if kind of the damage dealt isn't balanced between the different damage types to the hog. I almost felt like
it is entirely possible. It seemed like, well, the skewer was pretty level across both. One good shot on either one of them would usually destroy the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Although in the, this was on Behemoth. I did shoot a warthog with a skewer that was already weak and it didn't die immediately, but I got credit for the kills because the warthog blew up. Because it's fatal timer.
Yep. I know what you're talking about. I had a few of those instances happen to me, too, where I got some shots, and then 10 seconds later, I said, I got to kill him. I'm like, oh! It was the death thing.
So what'd you guys think of the map?
It was refreshing to have a dev map to play on.
I enjoyed the map.
I feel like most of the mid-map walkways were utilized pretty well. Across the whole area. I feel like the back of the bases weren't really utilized to the extent that they could have been used. For ZTF, it felt like they were used a little bit more just because of the nature of trying to kind of flank and either get flag caps or steal flags, but it's just that 10-20% of the map just seems like it's not really played on too much.
Yeah, the back ends of the map definitely did not get used in any of the matches I played.
Yeah, the only time you used them is when you went back there to bring the flag up to the top.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to say the loot cave felt very unrewarding.
It felt gimmicky to me.
Like, just to have it. Like, you have to unlock the door, defend it, you can't go away from it, and then you go in and it's just a sniper rifle or the skewer or a rocket.
Like, every time I opened it, it was a hammer.
Yeah, I saw Hammer quite a few times.
Oh, I forgot.
OS and LMG.
I like the loot cave idea as a way to control power weapon spawns.
Mm-hmm.
But one, the loot caves need to reset less frequently during the match, and they need to have something in them to impact the game, like a sniper or a skewer or a rocket launcher. But, like, the hammer? No. I mean, I went in there and there was a...
Commando? Needler?
Shock rifle? Yeah, a commando, a shock rifle, and then a couple of spike grenades, and then either OS really or an invis.
You know, like, I was kind of thinking about what would make it rewarding, and probably in current form on that map, I don't think it would work, but if the loot cave had like a vehicle depot and maybe there was a scorpion or a goshawk, like one of the vehicles that is powerful and a game changer. And then maybe if the Spartan laser is to come back, which as of right now, I haven't seen anything that indicates it is returning. Skewer seems to have kind of taken that role.
Seems like it. Yeah.
But if the laser was a more powerful gun, but maybe less shots, like maybe it was only 3 or 4 shots, quicker charge and blow up, you know, something different, like that, like GT said here, that is something that will sway the battle in some way for that moment in time, that makes standing there for 15 to 20 seconds, which is a long time in Halo.
Mm-hmm.
That if you got to stay in the certain bubble for 15 to 20 seconds, defend it to get in, you know, make our time more worth it.
I mean, a lot of the time it seemed like teams were just flat ignoring the loot caves.
Yeah. I mean, I just hung out in that area because that was my favorite area to fight, which personally I did not enjoy the map, but I think I would enjoy the map maybe differently if we were able to see more of the big team offerings, like what kind of maps we're going to have. I think I'm just used to big team being kind of a more open environment. And this was a very, there's a lot of places to fight, but I felt very confined.
Yeah. And it's a very closed off map.
And that to me is like, that's not it's not the big team battle I kind of expect on a Halo ring style map. Like, I think about the containments, Valhallas, coagulation, you know, beyond
standoff.
That. Yeah. Or, yeah. Standoff, Sidewinder, or Avalanche, whatever you know it as.
Yep.
You know, I think about those maps and a lot of open spaces, and like, you have the confined spaces, but the open spaces dominate the map. Where this, I felt like it was, you had like roads, like it kind of felt like turf on a large scale in terms of like,
you except could get you around more than one turn.
You can get around the map in vehicles, you know, it supports it, but is that the best way to go about the map? And maybe with the 24 player count, you kind of have to balance it out a little bit more.
I mean, it definitely felt a lot more like a foot map than it did a vehicle map. But I did find
CTF on there.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of CTF.
What do you think about the
flag? I was just going to say, Rhett's brought up in the chat mentioning the flag to me.
Oh,
it's an interesting mechanic.
Yeah.
I hate it. I had no idea it was happening until like the third or fourth game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really haven't got a solid opinion on it yet. I mean, I can see a benefit to it. It kind of helps it seems to help with like the 3-0 cap problem.
Yeah, because it almost feels like each flag position makes it a little bit more difficult to get it and get out.
To get a hold of. Yeah.
At least for that map. And maybe that's just a feature of that map, depending on what other big team maps we get. Maybe other big team maps will be the static spawn. But I'm with GT. It's like, it might be a little early to have a solid opinion on it, but so far I kind of like the concept of doing that.
Yeah, I want to see what it plays like on the rest of the map. If that's a feature that's only if it's map specific or if it's game type specific.
Right.
So, I know you guys have both mentioned dev maps, or this being a dev map. So, one thing I stumbled across on YouTube is somebody left a game, somehow was able to back out into the Forge menu as it currently was in that build, and they showed off every item that was in Forge, and in there, it mentioned something about these are the tools 343 is using to develop all, to put their maps together. Like, it said something specifically on there. And like, I was kind of thinking about that, because I also ran into a couple points on the map where, you know, it's an early build, so these things are going to show up. But I was like, maybe this is just like a gap in two Forge items not coming together. But I could see through the geometry and like see out into the skybox or like the ground box. And I was like, well, after watching that video and seeing that part, I was like, maybe this was built in Forge, which if it is, I think speaks volumes to what could possibly be the Forge 2.0 or whatever they're dubbing it here. Because walking onto that map the first time and every fly through that they did of it, I thought it was a dev map, but if it isn't, that's pretty dang impressive.
Well, I've seen some video of, you know, how every once in a while you hit a vehicle just right or a Spartan just right, they'll glitch through the map.
Right.
And seeing what's under it, it doesn't seem like your typical Forge canvas-ish
Where I was is, but you know, in front of the map, in front of each team's base, you had the... Like, you would kind of go down, and there would be, like, a battle rifle, a needler, maybe a commando or something, and a couple grenades. So, in that room, right before you went back up into the ramp, if you looked at, like, the door jam, it was specifically always on the right side. That's where I always noticed it. And it was a skybox. It was the same as the one above you, but, I mean, maybe it isn't. It very well could not be. But
I mean, the base itself could be a Forge item.
Yeah, maybe it's just like a big canvas, and because I mean the rocks even were like, oh, I noticed that rock. I noticed that style of rock. Or mm-hmm. the bases. Like they have giant bases in the video I watched. I was like, it made me look, I'm not the biggest Forge supporter, but it made me a believer that this new Forge, if what I was seeing is close to final build or what we're going to get when Forge finally does get added to the game, Forge could really be something special and add a ton to this game. You mm-hmm. know, like we saw lobby sizes, one of 100.
Oh, jeez.
There were items in there. You know, there were things in there that I was like, okay. And I've seen game modes where you can respawn your teammate right there on the spot.
That seems very Battle Royale-esque.
There are some things in there that I'm like, you know, I if you followed me on Twitter for any point of time, I've said Battle Royale and Forge ain't it. But I'm not changing that stance yet, but there are things that I saw in those videos and in these videos of people testing out custom game modes and there that have features in them that I'm like, they might be able to pull this off. They might be able to, I mean, you really could make anything with this potential engine. I mean, it right now the sky's the limit. So.
Well, I mean, I'm that's one of the comes. Things that they, you know, they spoke to when they started talking about the Slipspace engine. You know, they wanted to have options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody comes in and suggests an idea, they want an engine that's capable of doing it. So they've built in a lot of modularity into the system to allow it to adapt to do different game modes, different game types, even different games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am really excited about seeing what Forge is all about.
Yeah.
You know, I can't... Do you need to bring Forge out? Anyway. It is going to be a huge part of the game. Just hope it's not too late.
Yeah, I think that is a concern echoed throughout the community, for sure. That and co-op.
I know a lot of people are, you know, they're, you know, chomping at the bit to see what it is. And, you know, I've heard all the stuff that, you know, you just mentioned. I've even watched a few of the videos, but I've always taken them with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
because absolutely. This is a development environment that we're messing with. So yep. What we see there may not be there when the game launches.
Yeah. And all absolutely. The stuff that might be there for the Forge stuff, we don't know how old it is. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, so while it's cool to see some of that stuff, just.
And concessions are made in development yeah. all the time. If you yeah. follow the industry yeah. at all.
Well, I mean, just look at all the stuff they found in the original trilogy that just got left in the game, but it just got turned off.
Yeah. Like a rejected shotgun pointed out on the MCC mod tools that just got released. There's a whole bunch of new scenario folders for Halo 3 from the original build that were included in the mod tools. So mm-hmm. there's lots of leftovers.
I would love to see these mod things in MCC maybe get supported in the actual game, that you don't have to use the anti-cheat version or whatever it is. If they could implement some of these mods into the full game.
But they're still we'll pretty see. Early on in the whole mod support for MCC, it seems like, because they keep talking about additional ways they want to support modders and include mod tools. So it still seems mm-hmm. like they still have some ambitious goals with modding MCC that they want to support, and they're just not there yet. At least that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that people want to see these mods in the original, in the secure version of the game, but that is a daunting task.
Well, any mods that would be.
So when I say that, I would
because
say
be that means someone at 343 has to go through and review the mod to make sure, one, it's stable, and that it doesn't break something else in the game. You know, I have no problem with modders when they're playing amongst themselves, but modding turns to cheating pretty quick.
I think, you know, there's things 343 could do, like maybe have a, you know, how we have the grassroots partnership, you know, maybe, we're all familiar enough with this community. There's some really cool modders in this community that we know that have made some really cool stuff and played by the rules. And
yeah, you know, I'm not saying
maybe 343 starts a mod partner program rather than, you know, open season, send us what you got. Cause that would,
well, be I'm just, yeah, I'm just on. Saying if they're going to put it in to the, you know, the anti-cheat side of the game, it's going to take a lot of work on 343's part before that can happen. And yeah, I'm not sure they are ready to commit that much manpower to it yet.
Yeah. I think we're a good year plus away from even talking about this in a serious way right now. Cause they, as much as MCC has improved, there's still a lot of work to do there. And I do think the work is going to get slower, especially as they've even mentioned, you know, they don't want to be competing against Infinite, especially at launch.
Right.
So things are going to get a little bit quieter on that front for a while.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll still work on fixes for problems, but the whole content portion of it, I think might dry up for a while.
Yeah. So there's still some things that they've talked about that they want to do as far as new content for Halo 2, and there's still a few maps from Halo Online that they could include.
Mm-hmm.
Diamondback.
Well, what I'm saying is it's probably going to go from a fire hose to a drip
feed. Oh, probably at some point, but
yo, from a fire hose to a leaky faucet.
Still seems like they're pushing quite a bit of stuff for MCC, though, which is which is kind of nice. It sucks for all the Halo 5 and Halo Wars 2 people that still really enjoy those games, and they're not getting any love.
Yeah. Did you guys see?
Yeah.
So they're pulling support. Yeah. I was kind of surprised to see that. I do feel bad. Like, I know that community is a small community within the Halo
community. But it's a hardcore community.
It is. It's a very hardcore community, but it is a very small community that you kind of do feel bad for them, because since almost launch, they've been asking for just like
the simplest of things.
Give us something. And it's just like, not worth it. Like, I don't think this is a 343 stance. I do think this is coming from above that, but.
Oh, like, it's definitely Microsoft.
Like, yeah, I mean, the ROI is clearly not there in Microsoft Xbox's eyes, and unfortunately, they just are victims to that stance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, because it sucks to see, like, that small community, which is, like, it is small, like you said, but they're dedicated to the game and trying to keep the longevity of it going, because it's like the one popular side of Halo that is not the shooty Halo for those that really enjoy the Halo franchise and like RTSs. Which, I mean, at this point, it almost seems like Halo can fit into a lot of other genres if they really wanted to. I mean,
it can.
We have arcade style, we have twin stick shooter, we have first person shooter, we have RTS. I mean, I'm sure there's some other different genres that they could jump into if they wanted to. So, with Halo Wars 2 and how, I mean, it, even among first-person shooter fans, like, the story that Halo Wars has really brought to the community is, there's some of the best stories, I think, if you ask.
Oh, yeah. Both of them. I like Halo Wars and 2 are, they're great stories.
Yeah.
And granted, that's not the whole stats side of things, because that's all multiplayer.
I definitely played it in easy mode, but, you know, I definitely enjoyed the story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did see that. It's kind of sad. Not much we can do about it now.
But anyway, back to the flight.
Right.
I think, like you're saying, I think they're going the right direction in BTB. You know, we've got a very small sample size, so it's really hard to make a true determination until we see the rest of the maps and see how they play. The map that they did currently display does seem to be more Spartan friendly than vehicle friendly. And it's got my hopes up. Let's put it that way. I'm looking forward to seeing what else they've got.
Yeah. I am going to front load this with, I didn't get to play as much as I had hoped. I had just life happens, but I didn't hate what I played, but I didn't love what I played on BTB. Like, it just, I don't know if I was looking for something from the past that wasn't clicking with me, or if I was comparing it to other games that are out right now. Like, just there was a flow that wasn't connecting with me on this BTB. And I've had lots of friends say the more they played, they finally figured out that flow. I didn't get that amount of time, so I don't know. But it felt off from what I would expect on a Halo Big Team Battle. But I also I'm strongly in the mindset that this Halo is going to be very different for everyone. Like, I think Arena is going to be different. I think Big Team, it is a new chapter in Halo, and there is going to be an adjustment for people. I think it looks and sounds like Halo, but it plays in a spiritual success. They've even said it is definitely a spiritual successor, but it is a new thing for sure.
I wonder if the difference in combat flow has anything to do with the equipment.
You know, the equipment hasn't broken me. The aiming, that is where I've something hasn't clicked. Like it's harder. I can't put it into words. It is harder than I expect it to be. Which
the aim assist is not nearly as much as it has been in past Halo games.
I think they've said that too. Feels weird. Controller feels weird. I'm used to holding down the trigger on an AR, but you're punished for that. Or the commando, like, you definitely have to feather that thing.
Yes, you do.
I know people have posted pictures of sick multi-kills. That's cool. But I do wonder, is the average player going to be able to get these multi-kills and in a way that makes them feel rewarded for playing?
Well, yeah, it's definitely taking what I would feel more adjustment to play Halo Infinite than it did with the other Halo games, which every Halo game I've had to adjust how I played it.
Right.
Because, you know, they all have just little differences. But the differences do seem to be a little bit bigger in Infinite, but by the end of the night, I was feeling pretty comfortable with most of the weapons. I do need to spend some more quality time with them to really get the feel for them. I honestly wanted to spend a lot more time in the academy, but I just didn't get the time to do that.
Yeah,
I didn't either. Really get the feel of the weapons. You know, so I was kind of learning under pressure. but, you know, I will say that they did make some changes, especially on the commando. The commando in the second flight was a lot more user friendly.
I agree with that.
The first flight, that thing, even if you burst fired it, it was all over the frickin' map. I mean, you know, there was a couple times I thought I shot myself in the back of the head with it. it was bouncing around so much.
I guess I'm a little surprised. So I thought going into Halo Infinite, the shooting would be more user friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Where I hate making this comparison because they are two. If you're an actual shooter fan, these are two totally different types of games. I thought they were going to go more in the Call of Duty kind of gunplay style, a la like Halo 4. I thought Halo 4 would have been the perfect 2021 shooting style for Halo. But I feel like they kind of went reach to Valorant CS type shooting, where it's not as user friendly. It's more master these weapons rather than use these weapons. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but.
Well, that could also be the inspiration behind the Academy.
It could be, but like, I'm just surprised that you're wanting Halo to be your hardcore, like for a title and a brand such as Halo. I'm surprised you go more in a hardcore route than you do a user friendly route.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right now it feels more hardcore based. Like I was talking to Twisted. I think this game is going to evolve so quickly. Like Halo 5, I felt evolved quickly and all the metas, the movement, mm-hmm. everything. I think this game is going to be even quicker in doing that. And like that kind of scares me for the masses. I think Halo fans are going to play it. Halo fans are Halo fans. That's what they're going to play. But it does scare me on a masses level. Like our player is going to be like, this is too hard because, you know, even if you're a low level player, you know, if you were say bronze or silver, are you going to be getting outmaneuvered if you don't play for 2 weeks because the meta has shifted? You know, you watch Shyway. He's got like 10 videos already on how to master movement and use the grapple or, you know, fall off a ledge and hit the slide button at the perfect time and you go flying across the map. And I don't think those are glitches. I think those are elements in the game. And people go to YouTube really quick. And now, especially the players that have all these hours to master these games. And so I think those low levels are going to be it's going to be hard. And I wonder if that's going to scare people away because I don't know how many players are going to be like, wow, that was really hard. I got whooped. I'm going to go into Academy or the gun range and figure this out. I don't know how many players are going to be like, that's what I want to do. There's those players that want to master and compete and,
mm-hmm.
you know, compete on a day-to-day basis. But I worry about the masses side of it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, being that they want to attract large groups, it does need to be user-friendly.
Especially free-to-play, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty. It's very pretty. It sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, man, you shoot that sniper, like, you kind of get goosey.
You get the feel of a sniper in your hands.
Right. Yeah.
I know I gave some flack to some of the earlier Infinite Flights, but man, has the sound improved.
Yeah. And they're tweaking things still, you know, just like I mentioned with the commando, the first flight, the commando was awful. You know, only people that were really skilled with controller could control that thing. But they saw the problem and they've made some changes to it. I'm still, you know, you mentioned aim assist earlier and I'm still processing that whether I like it or I don't.
Yeah. To some extent it's.
Yeah. On one hand, I noticed that I didn't have a problem with my reticle getting jerked off of a target as much. But then I also had a little bit more trouble staying on target.
Right.
Because I'm used to that extra pull. So that's, it's going to take some time to get, really evaluate that, at least for me. Now, people that are a lot more skilled to me probably already have their perfect opinion of it, which is fine.
Perfect opinion on the game that's not out yet.
I think it was yesterday. I was watching Dr. Disrespect stream and he was kind of just talking about all the betas and everything that's come out. And he was talking, he brought up the Halo shield outline system. And he was talking about how he was able to shoot and everything, but he just didn't feel like he felt pulled out of the experience because he felt like he was shooting an outline rather than a Spartan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of thinking about like maybe that is part of like the eye to hand brain feedback that isn't clicking with me when I'm shooting these guns. Maybe they feel off because, I mean, we've had 20 years of a certain style of shooting feedback in Halo games. And it's relatively stayed the changed. Same. Yeah, and I like. I mean, I've changed my outline to yellow for the enemies because it reminded my brain more of the typical shield system in the history. It's just, I'm wondering if that's something that can be adjusted to make it feel more right. I mean, maybe it's not the guns. Maybe it's something visual or that makes it feel more difficult than it actually is. I don't know. Because some people seem to love it, but I did think that was an interesting thing that he, like, that's something that stood out to him was he felt like he was shooting an outline and it wasn't rewarding.
Yeah.
In the way that, in
that's the not the first time it. I've heard that either.
I'm There's adjusting other- to it. I've never really been a fan of the outline system for friend or foe.
Yeah.
You know, even in other games, I have trouble distinguishing that. You know, a lot of times I don't even realize it's an enemy until they actually start shooting me, which by then is too late. Anyway, so I did the same you did, Haas, and I changed my enemy color to yellow just to make it stand out.
Right.
To be something different so that I'm not trying to look for the red player or the blue player.
Yeah. And I was their whole reasoning behind the outline system was because now they want player personalization to really stand out and making your Spartan red or blue kind of in their eyes took away from that. But here I am, the outline stands out way more than the player's uniqueness. Like, I didn't notice what coding any of these guys were rocking. I just noticed this giant bright outline around them. Like, I didn't see the uniqueness or the player identity really standing out except for that 1, 2, 3, 4, here's your team, go. Like, that's the only time a player's uniqueness ever stood out. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's by design, but I don't think the outline supports the vision of supporting player uniqueness.
Well, I'll tell you this right now, even in current Halo games, I rarely ever see the customization of any Spartan, whether I'm playing team-based or free-for-all. The only thing I can genuinely tell you is helmet. Because that most of the time is the only thing I'm looking at is their head.
I mean, like in Halo 3, I always notice Hayabusa or the EVA.
Well, in Halo 3, but there weren't as helmet. Many choices, and it was a lot.
True.
The noticeable parts of it were a lot more prominent on
the scout. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I said,
like regardless of color, as far as knew what people were wearing.
The helmets, yeah. If you had the sword on your back, it would probably be half the game before I even realized you were wearing it. Because I tend to, I tend to look for heads, not bodies.
Yeah, I'm not looking at customization really when I'm in the middle of a firefight. And really, it's only Halo 3 and Halo Reach that it's really stood out to me in the past, that customization.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, then why can't we just be red versus blue? If most of us aren't even looking for it, if it's FFA.
Well, that all depends how many people are squeaking out there about not being able to see their customization. I haven't heard a lot either way.
Like, I feel like about, you get the coatings, but like just change the primary color to blue or red and have, you know, if it's camo or, you know, striped or whatever, you could be a striped blue Spartan, but you're blue or you're red.
Or something I thought about too, which might be helpful, is let your allies be outlined and let the enemies not be.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Because, honestly, I find the ally outline annoying.
Yeah, something that because differentiates
it, there's not different, you know, it's not different enough.
I will say from the first flight, the outline system feels a lot better than it did.
Yes, I will agree with that.
Still not perfect, but it was a lot easier to tell what shields were at what state, who had overshield, all that kind of stuff. So,
oh yeah, they definitely made overshield very prominent.
Yes, they did.
You could see across the map who had the overshield.
I almost felt like some of the effects on that overshield are not final because it seemed like it was just lots of floating triangles,
yeah,
just hovering around.
Well, I mean, it's something they changed from the first flight to the second flight, so I'm sure they didn't.
Yeah, it's probably have just all the stuff.
Yeah, all the effects in place by then.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it's an interesting concept, I think I've seen more comments about going back to a red versus blue style than customization.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe it's just going to take some time to get used to. I don't know. I'm not in love with it. I'm all for customization and personalization. Like, I am 100% on board with that boat. I just kind of think there's better ways to do it than
what. And I think that Alan kind of breaks a little bit of the immersion because you have all this rich shadow casting and all the lighting in it, and then it's broken by a solid color outline.
Mm-hmm.
A 2D solid color outline that doesn't blend in with the other lighting around it. It's just here's an exact outline of this player.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even mind a name above a person's head instead, or...
Hey, let's go back to the Halo 2 days.
Yeah, I'm all for it, man. I loved that.
Someone pops their head out and bam.
Easy read.
Yeah. You know, the whole reason behind the outline system is, yeah, they might say it's customization, but it's dollar signs. It's they want people to buy armor coatings.
And that's what the industry has is the moneymaker.
It's not that hard. I mean, yes, customization is a reason. Showing off customization is a reason. It is not the reason.
I think whoever made that decision kind of misread it. Make unique armor pieces the buy. Like, you know, have your standards that make unique armor pieces, make unique, like, prints, but keep your, you can adjust your colors. Like, we are literally buying color templates now, potentially. Like,
yes. Yes, like, we are.
In Apex, you can buy like yellow, green with Apex coins or whatever it is, or materials. But like, you think about Call of Duty, I'm not buying 500 different versions of Operator Number 2. I'm getting like a very unique version of Operator Number 2 with, you know, very outlandish looking armor. And I hope there's more of that where the whatever they're called, the color prints. I always forget. But
color palettes or
the color palettes. Yeah. I'd rather be, you know, striped dot polka dots, whatever, pick HCS team style skin, and then just put the color red, blue. And then in FFA you can look as outlandish as you so choose.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's gonna be people listening that feel like we're completely on the wrong side, and that's fine. It's just this is our preference based on our past experience with Halo, where we feel like when you're in combat, you're not really noticing customization because of how much customization there is now. Like, I feel for me, Halo 3 was like the de facto of you look at someone in an instant, you know what armor they're wearing because the customizations are so distinct and so different from one another. You can just have a quick glance and you know exactly what customization they have.
Except for me, I just know what helmet they're wearing because I don't look at the rest of it.
Helmet's the kind of the big piece, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But then like Halo Reach, I felt like it's like, okay, I have to look a little bit harder to kind of see what things someone's wearing, but I definitely noticed it a lot more in matchmaking. And then Halo 4 and Halo 5 is just like, nope, there's so much customization, I can't keep track.
If this is the route they're going, I hope they can just maybe test some things that aren't this outline system. So people's customization, coatings, armor pieces can stand out more, because I really do think the outlines take away from that player personalization a little bit, because at the end of the day, you just kind of look like a outlined figure in whatever color I so chose you to be.
Yeah. I feel like customization is a lot more for that out of match presentation than in match. I feel like that's almost one of those things where that was the question they didn't include on the survey. Like, they probably included, is customization important to you? Of course it is important to you. Is customization important to you? Do you look for it when you're playing in multiplayer? I think that's the question that they missed.
Yeah. Like, you know, in Call of Duty, I get killed by John McClane now. And that's pretty cool. Like, that's funny. But, you know, like, I noticed that that's John McClane. If he was bright red or yellow outlined, I'd probably notice it a little bit less. It'd be like, the specialness of that is taken away.
So, we'll have to see if there's other big team maps. I hope there's other big team maps than just that one at the start.
I hope we have another flight, to be honest. Like, a full open... After they kind of opened it up a little bit more for that last one.
I'm hoping they do like a full on beta test.
Right. That's what I'm kind of hoping. Like, just here it is on the Xbox store, Steam store.
Mm-hmm.
Download. Everybody just hop in.
And that's kind of almost what they do with Big Team.
Right. Like. But like, you know, maybe avoid the whole download the Insider app part. You know, just put it in an ad on the Xbox front storefront. Be like, Halo Infinite Beta Weekend.
Well, I think for anything that's beta, it's pretty much going through Insider, Xbox Insider.
Yeah.
Anyways, because even like the public beta type of stuff for Minecraft.
Yeah, all their first party stuff definitely is going through that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would throw it up on Steam, throw it up on the Xbox stores. Let's get as many people out there as possible. And let's have one more big hurrah. Maybe show off one more BTB map. You know, show a little bit of a different style.
Show another mode.
Show. Did we get Strongholds? We got it in BTB, right? It's not called Strongholds. It was like something modified.
It's Total Control.
No, Total Control. Okay.
And Strongholds in Arena.
Yeah, they have two versions. They have Total Control and then they have Strongholds.
Have we?
Okay.
Did we get Oddball gameplay? No, it was in the little multiplayer trailer. Have we gotten Oddball in the flight yet?
No, I have not seen
it. No, I have not played
it. You know, maybe do these are the featured modes at launch. Not every map, but let's, you know, here's your game modes. Here's one more BTB map. Please go have some fun. You know, test this game. Try it out. Tell your friends about it. Tell them they can download it with, you know, a couple clicks. And, you know, really get one more big test on there that aren't strict to 4-hour windows, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Have it be a full weekend test. Matchmaking is open all weekend long. Include arena, include big team, include maybe an arena slayer, an arena objective.
I think that's the ultimate PR move for them to do right now.
Yep. Just and the bot playlist. Have four playlists.
Yeah, just have them all. Have the Academy, have the bot, have the gun range, have arena, and have BTB. And just let people sink their teeth into it and really, you know, maybe they'll fall in love with it, tell their friends to download it and play with them for the weekend, and, you know, away we go.
Yep.
And then December 8th is right around the corner, and people, you know, maybe it takes Halo Infinite's anticipation up another notch, especially as all these other games get ready to come out as well. You know, you'll have a bigger mind share going into December 8th.
It'll be interesting to see what the holiday sales are like, because they're definitely missing out on the Black Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to read that, though. With Xbox's focus on Game Pass and multiplayer being free to play, you know, now you don't have to buy the campaign to get the multiplayer. So it just
There's a lot of, like,
going to buy it.
I still feel like there's a generation out there where their parents are still going to a brick and mortar store and buying the actual physical copy of the game, because
well, they're buying a code to download it.
or yeah, for some games. I don't know if that's going to be the case for Infinite, but just feel like that's still a pretty prominent purchasing method for video games for a decent amount of households still.
It will be a top seller. I don't think that is in question here, but I wonder how, what they lose. I think they honestly gain number, but in sales, do they lose? How much do they lose? Because I have friends that, I'm not buying it. I never play the campaign anyway. But
yeah. Well, they're hoping to make that up that's okay. In microtransactions.
Gonna make it, yeah, microtransactions are going to make it probably tenfold. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, look what they did with Halo 5. And it had a craptastic system.
And an amazing campaign. Definitely everybody's favorite.
Yeah, sure.
Overwhelming. Overwhelming.
That Locke character, favorite character of the entire franchise.
I really liked fighting this guy. I don't know if you saw him in the campaign, the Warden Eternal. I loved fighting him like 5 times. It added a lot of variety to my experience.
Yeah, that repetitive boss battle was just the best thing.
You know, like, he definitely, like, when you stack all the Halo boss battles, like, he's definitely number one. And then, you know, you got Tartarus, and then, you know, Didact is way down at the bottom. You know, those guys.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yep. Did we talk about how PC hacks can and probably will ruin Halo Infinite pre-to-play? No, we haven't, and
we don't know anything about the anti-cheat yet. I think it's way too early to talk about that.
Yeah, so. I'm waiting to see the anti-cheat on that. It better be a good one.
MCC's been pretty safe from what I have heard.
It's a fair concern, but I don't think we should be stressing about it yet.
Yeah, I'm not stressing on it. MCC has had problems, but they're not as bad as a certain other game that just implemented a new anti-cheat.
Yeah. I've
probably come across 4 or 5 players that were using some type of modification to play the game. But it's not every single game.
You know what the best anti-cheat system is? Reporting a player.
And they make that even harder every time I try to do that.
Yeah, they really need to make that
form. I want Fortnite level anti-cheat where it is straight hardware ban and I don't even feel bad. Like that.
Honestly, if you're going to cheat in a free to play game in matchmaking where you get nothing out of it, I think you should. I think they should pull the ID off the graphics card and ban the graphics card.
I mean, I would just do straight full hardware ban or IP ban. I just think, you know,
IP ban is easy to get around.
Yeah.
True, especially for anybody that's hacking, they probably can do that.
Yeah.
Quite easily, but
VPN, and then if you're at a university, your IP changes all the time, so you're probably getting someone else banned inadvertently if you're doing IP bans.
But yeah, I'd pull the ID off the hardware they're using and ban that.
Yeah. Anyways, any other thoughts on the BTB flight before we move on over to talking about MCC Season 8 stuff?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
Okay. I will say before we jump over to that, though, we did have a few people submit some clips into the Discord. Got a few interesting looking ones. Apparently, Tepec is up to his normal tricks of trying to launch himself on different maps with the help of Mint Blitz. So there's some interesting launches that they did on Behemoth. So thanks, Tepec, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Penn's got a 4-for-1 with the skewer. Or not 4-for-1. He got overkill with a skewer in BTB, which is pretty impressive. And then MH Cosplay put up a few little clips during the flight as well. One just is really funny of him looking at a ragdoll that's stuck to a to a ceiling. And I've seen a few of those things where it's just ragdolls getting stuck in different places. And then a couple other really cool like long range rocket kills. So, thanks for sharing some of those clips with us. MH Cosplay is also working on some June cosplay as well. So, if you want to look at some of the progress, you can head on over to our Discord and check that out. So let's see. MCC season 8 is finally out. I forget how long was season 7 out for. I feel like probably, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years.
It was out for a while compared to previous seasons. Like, significantly longer, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. But with new seasons comes new challenges, new unlocks, new customizations. And we've got quite a few new things as well to go over. Of course, we talked about some of the new armor and new customizations that they're going to be introducing. This is all around kind of mythical, ancient style armors. As far as the armor customization goes, there's some pretty cool weapon and vehicle skins that are available. We've also got some new nameplates for those that are going after the nameplates unlocks. And there's a whole little trailer that if you were here during the pre-show of the Twitch stream, you would have seen a lot of that customization. And there's also a article over on Halo Waypoint talking about some of that as well. And now there's these little new collectibles in Halo 3. What do you guys think of that? Having the gold MOA collectibles.
Makes running through that campaign a little bit more rewarding, since we have to do it every season, every week. I think that giving us something extra to do in there besides what we've been doing for 10 plus years is a great idea.
Not just running through it over
and over. Yeah, it gives you something else to look for.
How can I speed run this a little bit faster?
If I could grenade jump over this cliff, that would be great. Oh.
Yeah.
Right, all those little speedrunning tricks is like, oh, that's really hard to do. Halo Canon actually has a video out on where to find all of the Golden MOA statues for week one. They're on the first 3 missions of Halo 3, if you want to try and find those. Apparently there's a challenge out there to find at least 3 of them. You wouldn't have to necessarily find all 9, but they are there for those who want to go and try to find them all. And if you want a little guide to do it, then Halo Canon has you covered. There's mod support tools for Halo 2 Classic and Halo 3 that's been added. We've got Halo CE and Halo 3 added to the custom game browser, which I think is going to be really, really cool. Especially to see some of the customs coming back from the Halo 3 days. I feel like there's going to be a lot of that invading the custom games browser. We've got Icebox, which is a Halo Online remake of Turf, which I am very excited for. I love Turf.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Turf as a map. So that's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And then there's a couple other things. They added the little adjustments that you can do for your first-person POV for where you're holding your weapon. They updated the Halo 4 Reclaimer cinematics to where the lighting actually matches what it was like on 360. And it's not just a complete washout of light. So that got fixed. They've restored the original Halo CE HUD and updated it to 4K graphics, so it looks a whole heck of a lot better. And a couple other little minor things that if you want to check all the details on, you can go and check the patch notes from.
Fix up some update. Lighting and shading in Halo 2 and bump mapping in Halo 2 as well.
Yes.
Similar to what they did in CE, which it looks significantly better. I just actually retweeted somebody comparing Lockout.
Really?
Just
Lockout.
They just like did like one of those like where it slides left right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, noticeable difference for sure.
That is pretty noticeable. Wow. Yeah, a lot of the lighting system, it seems like, is just a whole lot, I guess, better. Or almost like there was a conversion that they had to do. Because whenever you're on different hardware and there's different generation, different processors, there's always little differences as far as how graphically something looks. And you have to kind of recode that or retool the engine on the new set of hardware or new instruction set to really accurately reflect what it looked like on older generations. So I feel like kudos to the team to put in all the extra effort to actually make it look like the original, because I'm sure that's not an easy thing to do. Have to basically look at the engine code to see, okay, where is it rendering this? Where are these bump maps actually changing as far as what they should look like from the original to what they're looking like now? figure out where in the engine that's being either rendered or translated or whatever, and then reverse engineer that to make it look like how it's supposed to be in code.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot, it took them 7 years to fix the lighting of that one cinematic in Halo 4 in Halo that 4. People have been upset about since day one.
Well, I can only imagine how big the team is, so there's probably a priority right. list of things.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it definitely speaks to the amount of work they've been able to put in and really get going. So, kudos to that team.
Oh, most definitely. You know, for the first part of this whole MCC remake, they focused where they needed to on getting the game stable and playable. And they worked really hard on that, and they've done a really good job. You know, MCC plays nothing like it did on launch.
Nope.
Now we're getting the pretties. We're getting the chrome trim now. So it's going to take some time, but they are working on it. And what work they have done is looking really good.
It certainly does. Any other comments on MCC Season 8?
Not for me. I haven't actually got a chance to check any of it out yet. So
I haven't either. I'll probably check it out tomorrow. And who knows, we might be checking out some of it for Fragging Friday if that's what the community decides to end up doing.
Might be.
Or Haas might just overrule and just say, hey, we're doing MCC.
Haas.
We'll see what happens. Or sorry, GT.
Is Haas hosted tomorrow night now?
Sorry, I meant GT. I don't know why I said
that. Did you tell Haas this?
Oh. yeah.
Because it was, I was looking at the
hot. I have to talk to my in-laws and my wife. That
because I was looking at Haas's Twitter timeline. Lol. So yeah, Season 8's out. It's out now. So if you're on PC, make sure you get the update on Steam. If you're on Xbox, update your game. If we're playing it tomorrow, I just have it ready for download. It's a pretty sizable download. I think on Steam it was a 18 gig update.
I'm 29. And I don't know why, but
I don't think mine was that big. I think mine was.
Mine just said 0 of 29 gigs. I was like, okie dokie.
Maybe mine was.
Yeah, I chose not to update it before the podcast because I wanted to have an internet connection.
That's probably not a bad idea. You can do it overnight.
Yeah, I'll start that after the podcast.
Sounds good. We also have the final or the. First set of settings for competitive that's going to be coming out for HCS on this, at least the Raleigh tournament that's happening a week after Halo launches, which we talked about on the last podcast that we were all together on. Haas, since you're a little bit more competitively inclined out of the rest of us, what did you think of the reveal? BR starts, no radar.
Settings wise, you've given. I'm not going to say it. The majority of the community exactly what they wanted. I do think from what we've seen in the sandbox, the battle rifle starting weapon is definitely the best option there. Given the mess that I feel the radar is, I am happy to see that thing gone.
What do you mean by mess? Just curious.
I just don't think it works well. Like it works as they intend it. I just it doesn't feel like a radar to me. And I don't think radar belongs in competitive. I think communication needs to surpass a crutch, which I think the radar is. And I think radar kind of slows down movement. Let me pull up because I know there's
that makes sense.
Now,
are you if there were the option was there, or would you be in favor of an ally radar, like an ally only radar? No, so just no radar. Period.
No.
Okay.
Game modes. I think those are four solid options. I definitely still, I miss King of the Hill and I miss Bomb a lot in competitive. I know Bomb has its issues and I know Strongholds kind of fills that King of the Hill model.
Vibe.
But
yep.
Yeah, you know, I really, there are some really awesome King of the Hill matches because you have to play those rotations and stuff that I always felt were special in Halo where every game has its domination strongholds style mode.
Mm-hmm. Territories-based mode.
Yeah, the change they made to strongholds, where now if a team is contesting one of the zones, scoring stops. I totally support that. I think that will make for some even more potentially epic last second clutches, yep. which, you know, every esport needs that. And I think that needs definitely that suspense. Helps there. Hit markers being gone. Bravo. You know, they said that for a while now that hit markers would not be ranked in. So that's cool. The reveal itself, I was trying to get in a flow of like how the competitive matches would go. And it was weird because on one hand, you don't have people commentating a match. You kind of have them just talking about the mode, going over the gameplay. So I was kind of tuning out a little bit more. I do hope if there is another flight, maybe they can set it up to do maybe a Sentinels versus Envy or, you know, like a couple matches of these pro teams playing. And
like some scrimmages.
Yeah. Type thing. Have Golden Boy, Bravo, Sims, Wonder Boy, and a couple of those guys do commentating. I mean,
isn't that what the Raleigh tournament's for, basically?
Right, but like this will be like a cool showcase for them just to like maybe just test it out, you know, as an audience, be like, hey, we're doing just kind of like a fun. How many partner? There's 8 partner teams, right?
To start right now, yeah.
So have 6 or 8 be like, hey, we got four preview HCS matches before going into HCS. It's an added promotion for if there was another flight. It'd be cool to get the kind of commentators warmed up to the game. And you could kind of just get more of that esports vibe of the match than what we got in there. But I think they did a good job explaining what we were seeing. I just kind of wish there was and then some on top of it, you know, if we could watch that match with more esports style commentary or something. But overall, I think the settings are good. They're especially for launch and what we know. I'm all for it. I'm excited to see how it plays and like plays and how it is on a spectator view. I think it's also really good. I'm a huge advocate for your esports need to closely resemble the game that everybody else is playing, because when you deviate too far from it, you kind of get a disconnect. And then it's only the hardcore that are watching or caring. So keep it on the map.
That's the way it's been for a while with Halo, unfortunately.
You're right. I think Halo 5 did well with it. I mean, they did better, but I think this is another step in that right direction. It's not huge changes. Grenade markers. I don't think the average player just watching that is going to notice. They're going to know the BR. They're going to know what the BR can do. It's probably going to be most people's favorite weapon anyways. And then, you know, the radar missing isn't going to be anything because you're going to have the esports view of it or the spectator mode where you can see where everybody is anyways. So it doesn't really matter. But
so something I talked about with Xperia and GT on the last episode was
DJ.
DJ and Xperia. I'm getting all my names mixed up tonight, man. But how during the MLG days of competitive Halo, it was really up to the pros and the MLG organization that made those game modes, where Bungie didn't really have a input or desire to really tailor the experience towards competitive. Now, I know studios are kind of really buying into the whole trying to fund competitive side of things for themselves these days, but I'd like to see a little bit more of the competitive organizers and players have a lot more say into what those competitive settings are going to be. So I feel like if they're the ones that are in the competitive space and they're the ones that are really helping define what competitive Halo is, they should have probably more of the say than the studio. I felt like for Halo 5, the studio kind of dictating that it was a little bit heavy-handed and didn't really leave a lot of openness to the community to really have an impact on tailoring what could have been the best competitive settings for Halo 5.
Also, letting them do that, you kind of also tend to feed that disconnect that Haas was talking about.
you definitely have to work together. And I do, like Dust said, it was kind of heavy-handed on the 3-4-3 side last time, where the pro players, I mean, have been very vocal, like, they didn't listen to us. You know, we mm-hmm. tried to work with them. They didn't listen to us. So from the outsider view right now, it seems like Tashi is doing a great job. I'm just going to say Tashi because he's a face person for HCS.
Yes.
Yep.
He's doing a great job partnering with these orgs, their players, and Esports Engine.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, those groups can work in harmony and, you know, be like, pros can say something, and then 343 says, okay, we can do that, but this is where we kind of need to work something out because we're going too far away from what we want the presentation to be. And so, you know, there's going to be give and take, and there's going to be changes, but they have to work together, or this is not going to work, and it's going to fall flat on its face again. And then it's going to feel like Halo 5, where to me, as a fan of the competitive scene, it felt so forced and so not authentic and not a representation of that community as a whole. It just felt like you were trying to force something in that wasn't organically there. And so hopefully we can get that in Infinite. And from where I stand right now, I feel like Tashi is doing a good job at being a face and a leader in that style. So hopefully that bears fruit.
And to the comment that you made, GT, about it kind of separating out a little bit, we were talking about how it is a different beast when it comes to all the different kind of experiences that you get within Halo. You have
okay. Let me rephrase this. When they made the modifications in Halo 3 for the MLG playlist and the MLG competition, I lost all interest in it because they weren't playing the same game I was. Yes, it was Halo, but it wasn't matchmaking Halo like I was playing. All of a sudden, now that
player speed,
shield, damage dealt, shield health, all of it. They adjusted all the settings they could, and it no longer played like Halo. It played like a MLG Halo. And that's one thing they need to stay away from, is at that point, okay, yeah, you're not playing my game anymore. You're not playing the same game I am.
I mean, I think you can say that with athletic sports too, though.
Well,
from
athletic sport to no, athletic sports track. You really, what can you do on track? It's run from A to B over the hurdles, or throw a stick as far as you can, or a ball as far as you can. In collegiate sports, you have a set of rules that they follow that mimic what pretty much everybody else plays on those rules. Now, there are some differences, but they're not major changes to the gameplay. You still, like in football, you still move the ball from one end of the field to the other end of the field, and you don't get any shortcuts on getting it there. But when they made the changes to the damage dealt by the BR, well, now, okay, it takes less time for this player to get a kill than it does me.
Well, okay.
This player moves faster than I do across the map, so he traverses the map faster, so the game feels different.
Speaking from
the I'm not the saying they side. Were bad changes. It just lost me.
So okay? For me, my stance on that, so I was more in the competitive scene at that point. Mm-hmm. Where I felt the biggest disconnect was the maps. I mean, besides Heretic, Guardian, and Construct, everything else was Forge. And those Forge maps weren't in the normal multiplayer rotation. The BR damage, all they did there was boost the damage in a way that allowed the four shot to be more consistent. The four shot was still a thing in Halo 3,
mm-hmm. but they boosted the damage to make it a more consistent thing to kind of help the gameplay flow a little bit better.
Which
movement was a 10% boost.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they tweaked damage down like 10%, 5 or 10%. So like they were minor tweaks. So gameplay wise, I felt like you were still seeing Halo with some tweaks. No radar, obviously. And then the weapons were different. The variety of weapons, I think, is an issue with Halo 2 and Halo 3's competitive, because you had BR, you had Sniper, you had rockets, and that was ultimately pretty much it. Maybe a plasma pistol here and there. So those things I do think should be changed. I don't fully buy into what they changed in Halo 3 totally broke, but I mean, each person is going to have their own perspective on that. So
I'm like I said, for me, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that it was bad for the game type. It's what caused me to have a disconnect with the competitive group. It showed me that they're not going to play on the same terms I am. And that kind of, yeah, it's kind of like playing the game or modifying the game so it's an advantage to you and not to anybody else. That a player of your skill level gets this advantage in playing when I don't, because I'm not of your caliber. I don't really care that that's what they did for a living. The gameplay, and I'm not saying it made for bad gameplay either. I lost that connection with those players, and I never picked it back up. I don't follow competitive now because of that. Now, in Halo CE and Halo 2, I enjoyed it. I know that in Halo 2, there were some changes made, but I didn't get that disconnect from it.
Yeah, Halo 2 was too hard to modify a lot of that stuff.
Right.
It was just weapons.
But in Halo 3, when they started playing around with that, I lost it. It was no longer fun for me to watch.
I felt like those changes made it more fun to watch, actually, because even though I sucked at Halo 3, it was really cool to see people pulling off these crazy plays, and it's like just that whole other caliber of...
I think it's more amazing if you pull off those same plays without modifying the settings to be advantageous to you pulling off those plays. That shows skill to me. When you can play by the same rules...
starts for competitive.
Yeah, when you can play by the same rules as everybody else and pull that stuff off,
reach to the screen and slap you.
But I mean, what GT's saying is, like, if you really don't want that disconnect, then make it to where competitive's AR starts, because right now that's what it's AR starts for social.
Okay, I in Halo,
I'm taking it.
AR is a sniper. It is not an assault rifle, because that damn thing can cross map you. It's actually better at cross map shots than the freaking BR is.
And I feel like Halo is a precision shooter at its highest form, and that AR is not that. And the ARs in Halo do not behave like other game assault rifles, where you have those ARs like out in an abundance where the automatics. So I think Halo competitive is best in a precision. Halo competitive at its peak is best when there are precision weapons being featured.
And I don't have DMR, yeah, AR. I don't have a problem with the starting weapon changing, because that is something that did make it into regular matchmaking. BR starts did make it into regular matchmaking. They just didn't have the modified damage in Halo 3.
Right.
And honestly, like I said, until they do some tuning on an AR, I don't know.
That AR is pretty powerful. Although that BR is pretty powerful too.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not, but the rate of fire and accuracy of that AR is just unreal.
Yeah.
I feel like the role of the AR has been lost.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do with it.
And they put it in there because it's classic Halo.
Right. I was talking to Mending about it. Honest to God, the AR to me is in Halo should just be the SMG like they did in Halo 2. Doesn't need to be dual wield. But the AR to me is not a medium range weapon. It is a short range weapon. It
should be a short mid range that shreds.
Yeah, and you know that tapers off at that mid range, mm-hmm. where the BR should be in that mid range exclusive,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your snipers and your DMRs and everything on the far end. But I feel like they just want this AR to work so bad, but it doesn't fit in the Halo flow to me. And I think it just they need to pull back that mode, reskin that thing as the SMG, and call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought of the assault rifle to be effective between the end of shotgun range and the beginning of BR range. And, you know, that's where my mind thinks the assault rifle should be.
Makes sense.
You know, the SMG would be just a little bit longer than a normal shotgun range, not the Bulldog. And that's another one that I'm going to have to spend some more time with before I can get a solid grasp on. But anyway,
that thing shoots so fast. It's weird.
Yeah. I just, like I said, that's just where I lost interest in competitive. And you know, I understand what you and Haas are saying. They do need to listen to the players because they're the ones playing it, but they need to keep the gameplay feeling real to the rest of us.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to be working together.
Yeah.
From the presentation side on the esports engine to the player side to the 343 side. All three of those teams and people, they need to be working together and in constant communication.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're seeing is working. Here's what we see isn't working. How do we improve this while staying true to what the game is?
And it's not easy. It's really not.
But you got to have checks and balances, and you gotta work together. You have to. If 343 wants to run this scene, you gotta listen. And if the players want these big paydays, you're gonna have to work with 343 if they're the ones fronting the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they got sponsors. Like you're gonna have to work together on this. And I hope they will be doing that better than they did in Halo 5.
Yep.
But that's all I got on the HCS settings. Overall, I think we're off to a decent start. And, you know, I'm excited to see matches truly played in a full presentation style, you know, where we can hear the commentators, we can see the players kind of play it in a more natural way. And we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how these pros use, you know, like the repulsor and the grapple shot for movement and what kind of tricks they're going to come up with that. I mean, there was a little preview of it and there's a little video they showed, but that's from what I saw, that's like base level stuff. Wait till they've got this game for a good solid 10, 20 days.
Yep.
Yeah. After the holidays and see what they got. Yeah.
The first real points season event is, mm-hmm. I think, going to be a real eye-opener for a lot of people.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least. Oh, what else we got? There's a little post about the Waypoint VNext, which is actually coming out November 1st, which I don't know about you guys, but that app did not work for either flight for me.
I did actually finally get it working.
I got my Spartan customized. I have a voice that I have no idea what it sounds like, but I got a new voice. I got my Spartan emblem.
I didn't try during the BTB weekend. I'll admit that. But the first flight and the first weekend of this latest round, the app just didn't work, period.
My biggest problem was that I was trying to install an app that I had installed. I couldn't find it.
Because it was the Halo Channel app, and now it's...
Yeah.
Well, I looked under H and it wasn't there. It was under W.
Yeah, it took me a minute to find. I was like, where is this thing?
just called?
Instead waypoint. Of calling it Halo Waypoint, they just call it Waypoint. So right. it does help when you look under the right letter.
Yeah, typically. So,
but yeah, it worked fine. It actually worked fine for me. I hope they bring some more functionality to it because it's kind of limited right at the moment.
Based on the screenshots, it seems pretty basic.
Yeah. Right now, it is really basic. I mean, for Infinite, about all you can do is customize your Spartan.
You guys are looking at this all wrong. It's a 10-year platform. They're going to get it.
Well, it needs to be more there point. Before November 1st.
GT, yeah, they got 10 years.
Or it's just going to get it installed in 10 years, and never get to talk about it.
Running like Facebook, you're going to have ads.
It's going to be running just like Halo, the Halo channel. Oh.
Let's not pull another freaking MCC. Please. Please. I mean, that'd be nice if we didn't have
to. I mean, the previous version of the Waypoint app was actually useful. Not Halo Channel, the actual Waypoint app.
You're talking about the Xbox 360 app?
Uh-huh. And then they also had a mobile version of it, too.
That app was amazing.
Yeah. You know, when Reach launched, that was a great app. I enjoyed the hell out of that thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't use it a lot because
it replaced it with the Halo Channel. It's like, what the fuck is it?
Yeah. And even though I didn't use it a lot, the little marker, the ping system for whenever you were in the
Reach heat game, maps.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was a nice gimmick, but it wasn't really practical looking at it on a 4-inch screen.
No, and especially not while you're playing, because the only time you'd be really looking at it is when you're dead, and at that point, it just shows you as an X anyways.
Yeah.
It was still cool, though.
Yeah.
So, the new app is coming out on November 1st, so if you want to check that out, it's not too far away. There's lots of cool new gear coming out. There's the latest novel from Troy Denning, Halo Divine Wind, which is coming out next week. And yes, that means I need to finish the book I'm currently on.
Mm-hmm.
And two other ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other Halo gear. I think we've talked about the Razor stuff, right?
Yep. Yes, you have. Yes, we have. And we've talked about how overpriced it is. Oh.
Yeah, but what about that bling that they showed off today?
Oh, yeah.
That straight ice.
It looks pretty nice.
I missed it.
I wouldn't wear it, but...
It is from King Ice. There is, it's basically just kind of like a gold chain necklace.
Oh,
and there is there's a kind of a full little mini of Master Chief. There's an energy sword, a needler, and a little Mjolnir helmet that they showed off. I don't know if those are the only options, but those are the ones that are in the tweet.
You can take off.
So, what do you think about the watch?
The Super Groupies watch?
Yeah.
I haven't actually looked into that one too much.
I mean,
I'm assuming that's not a smartwatch. That's just
no, a normal... it's not. It is a watch.
Okay. I mean, I know there's like watch collectors out there that would probably go for something like this.
I mean, for me to buy something like that, it would have to have something, especially at that price range.
Yeah, it's $240, which
it wouldn't. Really, I mean, I'm not saying it'd have to be like a full on smartwatch, but at least be able to connect to my phone and show me notifications.
Right. Yeah, I think we've kind of just entered that age of watches now. Like, I got a watch from my girl's Father's Day a year ago. I have a smartwatch, and I've worn the thing twice. Like, you know, I wear my smartwatch. Because now it looks like a normal watch, but I get my notifications, you know, everything on there. I have all the information I need right there on my watch, plus date, plus time. You know, it's just, at this point, the traditional watch is losing its foothold in the market.
I mean, honestly, the only reason I started wearing a watch again is because smartwatches got within the size that I can stand and price range.
I mean, I just have a Fitbit.
Yeah, I haven't worn any kind of Fitbit watch or anything for over 25 years. Granted, the field I was in 25 years ago was quite different, and jewelry was a big no-no. It could tend to make body parts disappear or get stuck in places you don't want to be stuck in.
Oh, you're talking about that jewelry. Okay.
But yeah, like I said, up until like 2 years ago, I just started wearing a watch again and found that my skin still eats watch bands. But anyway.
So yeah, if you want a $240 watch, that really pretty much is just a watch.
A watch. It's and a neat it. Watch. I will tell cool. you, it's a cool looking watch. Or
you can get
watch.
Your ice. You can get your Halo ice.
Bling.
Take off your crucifix and put Master Chief helmet on there.
Show your true allegiance. You could do that. Also for the ladies, there is some Halo themed makeup that you could get for Halloween from MAC Cosmetics.
I know what the ladies so. Like.
There you go. Series 4 from Jazzwares is now out, celebrating 20th year of Halo. There is the Master Chief versus Eshram diorama statue, which is now out and available. Apparently, Pins was weak and he bought it. I am trying to drastically downsize my Halo collection because yep, I don't same. Have much place to put most of it anymore. So I'm really trying to thin out what I have.
If I'm going to spend that kind of money on the statue, I want the game to come with it.
How much is the statue? I haven't looked.
I think it's 500.
500?
Yeah, it's, I think, because I was doing the math, if you got
530.
That, the console and the controller, you're looking $1,500 roughly after taxes and
yeah,
all that.
It's 530.
And then, you know, you got to get all those Best Buy statues, you know, that there's two or three of those. You got to get the red sword and the blue sword. So if you're a Halo collector right now, happy purchasing.
Man.
Yeah, but that's McFarlane.
It's a cool looking statue. Like props, if you got the $500 to buy that thing and you know you don't feel guilty about it, by all means.
Yeah.
Do it.
I don't
I saw it and I was like, that is a cool looking statue. But then, you know, the second thought was like, I don't need to go to the courthouse and be drawing up any paperwork right now. Like so I don't need to put any thought in it. So
I'm just kind of still holding out for a legendary collection, but it's not looking good.
Hey, man, not even a like, okay, there's a steel book, but that's your steel book? Come on.
Yeah, I thought about pre-ordering this. I thought about pre-ordering the steel book, but man, I just
it's so underwhelming. Yeah. Like it does. I'm just like, I guess I'll just stick with my Steam purchase and call it a day.
Yeah, I'm interested. Steelbooks is kind of one of those things I do like to collect because I have at least a bookshelf where I can put those and I have a little display for that. So pretty much my purchases now are consoles, books, steelbooks, and there's some select figurines and mega constructs that I'll buy. But other than that, I'm trying to really kind of limit. Oh, and the blasters. I'll buy the heck out of the blasters. But I need to try to find that steelbook again because I haven't purchased it. And I
remember like how early they announced the Halo 5 special editions compared to 2 months away.
Everything with Infinite's been so late compared. And I'm sure part of it's probably COVID and pandemic stuff, which is
yeah.
unfortunate.
Well, I mean, yeah, that they built this 1,000 horsepower Warthog and it just showed up on TV. What? Middle yeah,
okay,
of this
that
month.
That series has been pretty cool. I like the Hoonigan period.
I can't so stand them. The only reason I watched it is because they're working on a Warthog.
Well, the opposite side of the spectrum per like HCS as well. I enjoyed that video. I am ready to watch that thing rip it up. The burnout was cool. I love the way that thing sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the back of it looks off, but I'm excited. Like when they said taking the Warthog to New York, I was like, do they really somehow pull off ripping down the streets of New York and not have that leak and like have people get hyped? But then it was like, oh yeah, I made it to the premiere of Good Guy or whatever it was called. Yeah.
Free Guy.
And
such a good movie.
I'm excited to watch it, but
it's a really good
I was a little
movie.
Disappointed in that, but
There's the Rockstar Energy Drink, which is out now, which has some pretty cool weapon skins tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't drink energy drinks, so...
I just gotta buy the sugar-free ones, dump them down the drain, get my codes, call it.
Yeah.
The nice thing about Rockstar is if you hit up gas stations, you can usually get like 3 or 4 of them for like $5.
Mm.
So you won't feel like you're buying a $5 Red Bull that you're dumping down the drain. You're going to be getting a couple cans. So
okay. I get sick just walking past that freezer cabinet looking at it. I don't know what would happen if I actually touched one.
Send your wife. I don't know.
I just feel like when I walk past that, I need to check my blood sugar. I start getting lightheaded.
While I was on the East Coast last week, I did have to pop a couple energy drinks, waking up at what my internal clock thought was 3 a.m.
Oof.
And I was like, trying to work. And so I had a couple energy drinks, and I was like, this is not good for me.
Yeah. Let's see. There's also a new Duke controller that is Cortana themed in celebration of Halo CE turning 20 as well.
Which buyer is, yeah, beware.
I'm trying to resist that.
Isn't this the second Halo themed Duke Xbox One controller that they've come out with?
I like the green and the black one. This purple just doesn't.
The only Duke one I know about is when they brought back the Duke controller the first time.
I feel like there's another one since then that they made. I could be very wrong, though. I probably am, given the reaction here.
I mean, I have the original, well, the reissue of the Duke controller. I have no idea where I put it, but it's right, around the here standard somewhere.
Black one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see, what else was there? There's one other thing I thought I saw in here that I wanted to bring up, but I guess not. Nope, I think that's it. At least all the new stuff since we talked about merch last time. There is some new shirts and new jackets that are up on the different Halo stores. Numbskull has some. The Xbox Gear Shop has some. So there's some new Halo swag out there if you're looking for some new wares to add to your collection. But other than that, that's all kind of the new product type stuff that we've got from.
They have an Xbox controller shaped like the old, what, the Nintendo, what was it, the Sega? The
NES?
Which one had the controller that was kind of the shape, almost like a figure eight?
I think that was Sega.
Yeah, that was Sega.
Yeah, I don't remember Nintendo ever having something like that.
Yeah, it was Sega. But yeah, it's like, really? Your controllers are already small enough. I don't need one that small.
It's for the kids. The kids with the smaller hands. Anyways. So that's going to wrap it up for the news portion of things. Actually, quite a little bit longer than I thought we would go tonight. But lots of good discussion about the flight. And then we've also got MCC Season 8, which we'll probably be hopping into this weekend. So if you are willing to join us for that, make sure you hit up our Discord, put in the vote for Fragment Friday that you want to do MCC, and then we'll get into some of the Season 8 stuff. Otherwise, we'll be on Halo 5, so hop into Discord and make your voice heard. What we got for playlist updates coming up this week, GT, since I totally blew by that at the beginning of the podcast?
Anyway, for this weekend, October 14th, we have CE Anniversary Throwback rotating in. And we have Warzone Assault going live. For the Master Chief Collection, we have...
I didn't update. No. I'll take this one. Griffball is coming back.
Griffball rotating in.
And Fiesta returns to Action Sack. Now we've also got some ranked playlist changes. We have Halo 3 Team Doubles rotating in for Halo 3 Hardcore Doubles. And this was
posted for last... Anybody see a theme there?
Lots of Halo 3. This was last week's update, so obviously, they haven't made a post for this next one, so I don't even know if this is accurate. This is the latest one in the thread that they posted, but that was on the 6th of October, which is out of date by this point. So unless they're doing a rerun of that one, this is not right either. But there's not a post after that, so I don't know. Someone wants to hop in MCC real quick and let us know if that was actually what it is. On the company commendation side of things, we are pretty close to Lucky being done. We've got another 21 of those to get, which is Cluster Luck, Last Shot, Sayonara, and Fastball. Again, this is in Halo 5. And then Forgot to Pay the Toll. We are 83 away from completing that one. Then we've got the long, long lost ones down at the bottom. Killing Marines and killing enemy Spartans with Shoulder Bash. The crux of us getting that Achilles helmet in Halo 5.
Oh, apparently there was a green Duke controller released at some point.
Yes.
That's probably the one I'm thinking.
Just have the black one. You shed face. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at this Cortana one and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's ugly.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult because, like, my favorite color is purple, so I kind of like the cool purple aspect, but just the whole overall design is like,
I would have been better off if it was blue and then Cortana was purple. Like she was in the original game.
A different shade of purple would have been like, I guess it's the purple from like the Cortana hologram. I get that, but
no, that's purple more from a Covenant ship. That's purple.
I mean, yeah, it's certainly purple.
But anyway, on to bigger and better things.
Yes.
My personal life decisions can wait till next week.
However, your personal life decisions can wait till tomorrow morning when we put out the poll for Fraggin' Friday, which is hosted by GT every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Hosted on Twitch and played on whatever you vote for. So hit up our Discord, let us know what you want to play. We've also got Achieving Halo, which happens at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays. And then we've also got the podcast, which happens here on Twitch on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you listen to the download version of the show, then you can come on over to Twitch on Thursdays and listen to us, or just continuing to download us and listen to us. Either way works. Speaking of download, we are on several different podcast platforms. We are on iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Facebook Podcasts now even. If there's a place that we are not, that you would like to listen to podcasts, then please reach out to let us know so we can get the podcast on your preferred listening platform of choice. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you want to check out our socials. We also have our, let me pull up my thing here. We've got Twitch and YouTube. YouTube content train will probably start rolling out, hopefully some stuff once Infinite comes out. We might do some recorded playthroughs and some stuff. I think GT's almost done with his next installment of Achieving Halo after many months of trying to re-record footage of
I do apologize for the length of time it's taken to get this done. I've basically gone through and redesigned my entire workflow. And I've been learning a new video editor, so it's taking me some time.
He's got some cool tools to go with it, too.
But yeah, I've been trying to make some changes to make this to where I can crank them out a lot faster, because I don't have the time to spend 8 hours editing a video anymore. So I'm still working on it. I will get it cranked out just as quickly as I can. And hopefully shortly thereafter, I can start cranking them out a lot quicker.
Very nice. Looking forward to it. We've also got our Discord, Spartan Company, and Xbox Club that you can join up on. Discord's pretty much where the community hangs out for the most part. So if you want to be involved, then podtaggler.com/Discord is the place to be. You can support our show in a number of different ways. First one is just by sharing us on social media, sharing us with your friends, letting them know about the podcast that you know and love here over on Podtacular. If you want to support us monetarily, you can do so as well. You can subscribe to us on Twitch or ask Pins for a subscription on Twitch and support us that way. You can also become a patron over on Patreon. We got a few perks over there as far as getting some Podtacular swag, possibly becoming a guest host on the show, access to our live stream podcast VODs, and a couple other little cool things that you can get if you become a patron. Shout outs to Confal, Pins, and Prestige for being our loyal patrons over there for several months, some up to a year at this point, or a little more. If you want to skip all of that and go straight to us, then you can PayPal donate to us if you so choose, podtacular.com/donate, if you choose to do that. A little update on our Fort Fiesta Frenzy series of events. The forging judging is well underway. We are through our second round of judging. Depending if we actually choose Halo 5 or Halo 4 tomorrow, we might hop on some of the maps and play some Super Fiesta game modes. So if you end up choosing Halo 5, then
you never know.
You just might have to come over and check it out.
Oh, are we going to make a rule about people that are going to compete can't join in or what?
No, so there is no rule for people that are coming in and playing with us that you would be exempt from the tournament, which, if all goes well, the signups and the announcement will be made tomorrow as of recording this. So October 15th is when signups should open, and then we'll have signups close about a week before the tournament actually happens, which will be the second weekend in November, which is going to be November 13th and 14th for this tournament. $2,000 prize pool, $1,000 going to first place team, $650 going to the second place team, and $350 going to the third place team is what we're currently setting up for. Everything will be best of five games, best of seven games for the semifinals and the finals. Pretty much be single elimination, I think, up until the final eight, in which it'll be double elimination throughout the rest of the way. I think that's kind of what we're going on. But final details will be posted tomorrow, and we'll get that out for people to start signing up for the very first Podtacular tournament. Only took us being around for 800 episodes and 16 years before we finally hosted our first tournament.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of takes a while to get that bus rolling.
Yeah. And now that we have the bankroll of pins, we're able to host a tournament with an actual prize pool on it. So everyone who's contributed to us either monetarily through Patreon, Twitch, or by donating to us, you are what's making this tournament actually possible from a prize pool perspective. So thank you for that.
Actually, what happened is we couldn't get an Xbox Series X, so we figured we'd just throw a tournament this year.
I'm still trying. So that may not be.
I'm still trying to get a controller.
Yeah, me too. Good luck on that. If my trainer has been sending me a couple of links to other things, unfortunately, I've been like busy while he sent them to me, so
of course
still keeping an eye out on those. So
he could just link you his sources and then you could watch them yourself.
I think most of his sources are either just Facebook pages that he's watching and they're like subscribed to get all the notifications on, or Twitter, and it's like, I got enough notifications on my phone, I don't need that many more notifications just bogging down my phone. But anyways, that's gonna wrap it up for the show tonight. Thank you, Pin, or gosh, why am I getting names all wrong tonight? Thank you, GT and Haas, for being on the show. I am taking a day off tomorrow because I am at that point of near burnout.
Is it because I shaved or?
No, it's just my brain. Last week was not as restful as I was hoping, being a long weekend. It was a very busy long weekend that came in like a whirlwind, so I am taking a day off tomorrow and trying to just relax and recuperate, so hopefully my brain will kind of get back into gear. That's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for tuning in to us on Twitch. Thanks for downloading the show. Make sure you check out our Discord for our game nights. Again, we'll have the pull-up in the morning for if we're going to be playing FCC or Halo 5, so hop on over there, check it out.